We're going to bow together in prayer, and our clerk of session, Mr. John Craig, is going to come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer just now. Thank you.
Let us all pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the opportunity to gather in Thy name. We thank Thee that it's through the merit of our Saviour that we approach unto heaven. Oh, we thank Thee for each one that is saved, for each one that has had their sins cleansed. We thank Thee, O God, that we can be sure our sins are separated from us as far as the east is from the west through the precious blood of Christ. And our Father, that is our prayer for each one that's within the sound of our voice this day. Lord, if there should be one that's out of Christ, we pray, Lord, that this afternoon, the speaking voice of God will speak to them, and Lord, that they may turn and find the Saviour. We thank Thee, O God, for the opportunity to meet in this fashion. Here, Lord, it's not what we're used with at the house of God, but O God, we thank Thee for this opportunity. And our Father, we pray for the preaching of the word. We pray that Thy blessing will be upon the Reverend McClung. Undertake for him, we ask. And our Father, we would think of maybe those in our congregations that are unable to come out. And Lord, they're still in their homes. And our Father, we pray for them. Lord, take away the loneliness. Draw near unto them, we ask. And our Father, we think of our land, we think of our nation, and we pray, O God, that there may indeed be a turning unto Thee. Lord, we have turned far away from Thee. And, O God, we pray that Thou wilt even raise up national leaders that will point our people unto God. So, Lord, undertake for us this afternoon. Be with us and bless us, for we ask it in our Saviour's great name. Amen.
We're going to turn now in the Word of God. If you have the Scriptures with you, we want to turn to the Old Testament and to think about a particular individual that is mentioned there in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And we're not going to read the whole portion. It's to do with a man called Manasseh. And we have been thinking about Hezekiah in our Lord's Day morning studies. We took a little break at the beginning of the lockdown and the services not taking place, but we've gone back to that in recent times. Well, Manasseh is the son of Hezekiah. And what I want us to think about for a moment is the fact that this man sought the Lord in his lockdown. Because in that portion, 2 Chronicles chapter 33, you read there in verse 12 of what happened to him in the course of his life. Well, we'll read verses 11 and 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And verse 11, wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captain of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. So here is a man who sought the Lord amidst his lockdown. The Lord had brought these circumstances into his life. He ended up in prison. He ended up in prison in a foreign land, a foreign country. He ended up in Babylon, taken away from Jerusalem and from the land of Israel, and transported across to Babylon. And there he is a prisoner in a prison cell. But it tells us that in the midst of his affliction, verse 12, 2 Chronicles 33, verse 12. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And we would encourage you to read even the first 18 verses of that chapter, 2 Chronicles 33, because they cover his life. We're just reading these two verses and drawing your attention to what is said. But there's other verses that we will make mention of. For example, verse 13, where it tells us that he prayed unto the Lord in the midst of his troubles as well. So for just a little moment, I want us to think about this man who in his lockdown sought the Lord. And I want you first of all to consider Manasseh as a privileged individual. He was privileged because of his parents. His parents were Hezekiah the king, but also Hephzibah was his mother. She's mentioned in the scriptures. She's mentioned directly as the mother of Manasseh. But then also that name is taken and used of the church, of the people of God, by the prophet Isaiah in his prophecy. And Isaiah ministered during the days of Hezekiah, as we know. So therefore he would have known the queen and he would have known her name. But he took that name and he applied that name to the people of God, because the name Hephzibah means "my delight is in her." That's what that name literally means. My delight is in her. And if it is the Lord that is speaking, then it's referring to someone whom the Lord delights in. And is there any greater blessing than that? To have a name, to have a testimony like that, that the Lord delights in you? That you know the Lord in such a way that this is what is true of your life and circumstances, that the Lord not only knows you, but the Lord delights in you. And we know that the Lord delights in those whom he has saved, who are washed in his blood, who are cleansed, who are redeemed. The Lord delights in them. Well, Hephzibah, that's the meaning of her name, and she was the mother of Manasseh. So when you think about Hezekiah and the godly man that he was, and as we have been highlighting, we have been thinking about him for, well, now quite a number of months. We have been thinking about Hezekiah over this period and thinking about as soon as he came to the throne, he instigated that work of reformation, wanting to turn the nation unto God, turn them back to the Lord, turn them back from the false religion of his father, Manasseh's grandfather. And Hezekiah was a good man and wanted to turn the nation back to the Lord. So you have Hezekiah and you have Hephzibah as the parents of Manasseh. And surely they must have been a godly influence upon them. And yet here's this young man who grows up in this home. It's the royal home, the royal palace in Jerusalem. But for all of his privileges, we read about him turning away from the Lord. He turns his back upon the Lord. He forsakes the Lord. He doesn't come to know the Lord. He doesn't come to follow the Lord. It's not so much that our eternal destiny depends upon others, even upon parents. But surely it's emphasized that our own eternal destiny depends upon our own selves and the choices that we make for our own lives, and whether we have come personally and individually to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And while it is true that Hezekiah or that Manasseh was greatly privileged, by having a father like Hezekiah and a mother like Hephzibah, yet we find him himself turning away from the Lord for all of his privileges. You can think about him as a prodigal individual as well, not only a privileged individual, but a prodigal individual. Because some of his sins are detailed here. Not only the actual things that he did, but also the example that he set to others. For example, in chapter 33 there in verse 2, it says, "He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." And then it begins to list some of those sins that he committed. He rebuilt the high places to the false gods. He worshipped Baal. He caused his children to pass through the fire. In other words, he offered human sacrifice, even of his own children. There was that practice among the false religions of thinking that somehow God was pleased with a human sacrifice, and even more pleased with a sacrifice that was an infant child. And many of those who were followers of heathen religion sacrificed their children to their false idols and their false gods, thinking that somehow this would appease the Lord. And this is Manasseh. This is what he did for all the upbringing that he had. He has turned away altogether from the things of God and he has become a prodigal. But then you think about his example as well. Because in verse 9, 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 9, it says, "So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel." So not only was he a prodigal in his own life and what he was doing himself, but even the example that he was setting to others and the influence that he was having upon others, it says he was causing them to err. He was causing them to do that which was sinful. He was turning them away. His father had spent so many years seeking to turn the nation unto God and turn it back to the ways of God and to the word of God. And here's his son who comes along. And he's bent on turning the nation away from God, not only in his own life, but even in the influence that he has upon others. And it tells us that he caused them to err and to do worse than all the abominations that were done among the heathen. So Manasseh certainly was a prodigal son in that regard. But that brings us really to think about the main thing that I want us to think about, and that's the Lord's intervention in this man's life, because we can certainly say that he became a perturbed individual because the Lord started to deal with him. The Lord started to intervene into his life. And there's no greater blessing than that. No matter what our circumstances, prodigal son or otherwise, there's no better thing to have than the Lord to intervene in someone's life and to start to speak to that individual. It's absolutely necessary that the Lord speaks to us and the Lord intervenes in our lives, because we'll never be in heaven otherwise. You can have religion. You can have a form of godliness. You can even go to church when it's possible to go to church. You can read a Bible. You can say your prayers. But if Jesus Christ has never intervened in your life, you'll never be in heaven. It's impossible to enter into heaven without an intervention of God in our lives, because that intervention brings about salvation into the life of an individual. And that's certainly what happened with regards to Manasseh. This intervention that we read about, when the Lord began to trouble him and the Lord began to perturb him and he became a troubled soul, the Lord sent him trouble. But I want you to notice just one verse before we come to the trouble. You see, before the trouble came, the Lord had been speaking to him. It tells you there in chapter 33, verse 10, "The Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken." The Lord had spoken to Manasseh, maybe through the prophet Isaiah or some other way, but the Bible records that the Lord spoke to Manasseh. He didn't let him go on in his sinful ways. There was someone to challenge him. There was someone to speak to him, bring the word of God to him, point out to him that he was indeed following a sinful lifestyle and where that sinful lifestyle would take him at the end. The Lord spake unto Manasseh, but he wouldn't hear. He didn't want to listen. He didn't want to heed what God had to say. He had his own plans and his own ideas, and he wasn't going to listen to the word of the Lord. But that wasn't the end of what the Lord had to do in the life of Manasseh, because the Lord brought trouble then into his life. And we read in those subsequent verses how the Lord brought the captains of the host of the king of Assyria. They were the mighty power in the earth in those days. They were the preeminent nation. If you think about some of those nations, even today in the earth, whether it's China or America, they're the chief nations, the most powerful nations. Well, at that time, Assyria was the most powerful nation then in the world. And the Lord brought them against Manasseh. And he brought them against Manasseh to such an extent that we read here that Manasseh ends up as their captive. Not even allowed to stay in Jerusalem and remain as a vassal king, paying tribute to the Assyrians. No, the Lord saw to it that this man ended up being taken captive, carried away to Babylon, and put into a prison cell in Babylon. But it was a mercy from God. This lockdown that he suffered was a mercy from God. And may that even be the case in the times in which we live. And I know that the restrictions affect us and we can't come to the house of God and we can't enjoy the fellowship and the worshipping of the Lord together. But may it indeed be the case for some individual that they'll bless the day these lockdown measures came into place, because as a result they sought the Lord. As a result they were made to consider their latter end, made to consider eternity, made to consider their soul. The Lord would speak to them, and in speaking to them that they would hear. May the Lord indeed bless and work, even as he did in Manasseh's life. And he stepped into this man, Manasseh's life, and he brought him very low. The Bible there uses the word affliction. He brought him down very low. He brought him down to the place of affliction. He felt it, being locked away there in that prison cell in Babylon. He felt it. It was an affliction, but the Lord blessed it to his soul. And as a result of that trouble that came into his life, I want you to finish off thinking about him as a praying individual. We drew that verse to your attention. It's verse 13. It tells us that he prayed unto the Lord in the midst of his trouble. He prayed. It wasn't just a matter of feeling sorry for himself and thinking that the Lord could get him out of the prison cell so that he could get back to his ways, his sinful ways. No, it tells us that he humbled himself. He humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And the Lord heard him. The Lord was gracious. The Lord is always gracious when someone cries out of a sincere heart. The Lord is always gracious. And the Lord was gracious to Manasseh. And it tells us there that Manasseh came to know the Lord. He came to know the Lord. And what a blessing that is in anyone's life, is to come to know the Lord. And how marvelous an act of mercy it is, even in the circumstances in Manasseh's life, that the Lord would speak to him, bring him to that place where this man humbled himself and cried out then unto the Lord. And in crying out unto the Lord heard him. And the Lord saved his soul and he came to know the Lord. And that is our earnest prayer and desire for each and every one. And if you're under the sound of my voice this afternoon and you've never sought the Lord, well then, this afternoon we certainly encourage you, plead with you, entreat you to cry unto the Lord for mercy, to humble your heart before the Lord and seek him for salvation. Acknowledge him as your Savior, as the only one who can save you. Do not depend upon yourself and somehow you can get into heaven by your own efforts and by your own works. Salvation is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You must come as a sinner to Christ. And it's certainly my prayer that you would come even as Manasseh did. Come to know the Lord. And there is that assurance in the Word of God, that great gospel text in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that was very true in Manasseh's life, and it can also be true in your life. And as I said a moment ago, if you have never knowing the Lord's intervention in your life, my friend, may it be even that these circumstances that we find ourselves in at the present time would bring about such an intervention from God in your life and result in you coming to know him as your Savior. Oh, may you call upon him. Even where you're sitting now, call upon him and acknowledge him and seek him for salvation. And be like Manasseh then, that you could also say, I'm just like Manasseh. I sought the Lord in a lockdown. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts for his name's sake.